it's Hannah from Echo and Encourage. I'm so excited to introduce today's speaker, Mariela Rosario. She is an incredible woman of God, spoken word artist, coach, speaker, writer. Her new book just launched, She Speaks Fire, and you are going to learn how to manage shame. And it's an incredible, incredible book. I'm so excited for you to get your hands on it. And Mariela's spoken word really is what helped me birth this podcast. I heard Mariela speak at the Beautiful Mind Academy in Temecula, California. She shared her testimony in the form of spoken word, and I was so empowered, and I asked the Holy Spirit what ministry He wanted me to start, and it was Echo and Encourage. So thank you to Mariela for how she's so bold and vibrant and ready to speak and to get women to share their story. So I am excited for you to listen to this episode to learn a bit about shame and how to manage that, what shame looks like in the Christian world, what it's like to wear fig leaves to cover up our shame. This goes back to the garden when Adam and Eve made fig leaves as a covering, and what fig leaves are we wearing nowadays? So without further ado, let's welcome Mariela Rosario. I hope you enjoy this episode as much as I did. Thank you for listening or watching on YouTube. Mariela Rosario is a writer, coach, and spoken word artist. In 2015, Mariela had a radical encounter with God, and since then, she has dedicated her life to helping others be the best version of themselves and walk in their God-given purpose. She has a bachelor's degree in Christian ministries and founded She Speaks Fire in 2018. Mariela and her family live in San Diego, California. And I met Mariela at the Beautiful Mind Academy retreat in Temecula, California. And I was blown away when she shared her spoken word testimony at that retreat. And it was so powerful. It's a big part of what birthed this ministry, Echo and Encourage. I saw Mariela speak with her fire for Jesus. And I was like, okay, Lord, what do you want me to start or do? So this was a testimony from Mariela's ministry. And now she has a book launching tomorrow, which actually this may not air in time for that, but today is February 12th. So her book launches February 13, 2024, and I'm pre-ordering, and there will be prizes at the podcast party. I was wondering, what got you into becoming a spoken word artist?
Yeah, so when I was younger, I lived in a single parent home. Me and my sisters were raised by our dad, which he wasn't very vocal. He wasn't very emotional. You know, he was a provider. And as a child, you need that emotional connection, you know, and that was always lacking in my life. And I always, from a young age, just carried a deep sense of like pain inside of me. And it's the cliche, poets are like emo, like, so deep and so like in the touch with their emotions. But really, that's what happened from a young age. I needed a way to express myself. I needed a way to express what was inside of me and get it out of me. So before I even knew the Lord had me to pick up my pen and just sit in front of my computer for hours at a time and just write these pieces that I'd never shared with anybody in my whole life. And I was just a poet at that time. A spoken word artist is just a poet that speaks their poetry out loud, right? So I, when I got saved in 2015, I was in school to get my degree in Christian ministries. And one of our projects was to do a creative piece on identity. So I wrote this poem called Who Am I? Which to me, it was super easy because I was just a gift that I had was to write poetry. But that was the first piece that I ever wrote for the Lord. And I was in a local community, a church, and I had shared it with my life group leader. And she was like, you need to share this at our young adults ministry. And I'm like, I've never shared my poetry out loud. Like, I've never spoken it. And she got me to come in and share it. And that's when I became a spoken word artist, was for the Lord in 2015. at a young adults ministry. I shared my poetry out loud. And then my ministry just kind of picked up after that. People were like, can you write a poem about this? We're doing a conference about this. And then I just started writing for the Lord. So yeah, that's how it came about.
It's so beautiful and powerful. I've got, as we say in Hawaii, chicken skin, goosebumps, just remembering your poetry from that day and the how it's just changed lives. And to clarify, that is when people order your book, do they get a copy of your poetry?
So that's the thing is right now, there is one of that poem, Who Am I, is actually in chapter one. I put it in there. Obviously, I'm not speaking out loud. But if you guys get the Audible book, you'll get me speaking that out loud. Right now on pre-order, which I know that this podcast is going to be already past the time my book's on pre-order, they get a four-list spoken word playlist of me as a pre-order bonus. So, yeah.
Awesome. That's going to be me.
And I forgot the piece I did in Temecula. I think it might be on the list, actually. Yes. The Dear Daughter, I think. That's the one I did at Temecula.
So good. Awesome. Okay, I'm going to take a peek here at my notes. Mariela, what are some frequently misunderstood aspects of shame, and how does She Speaks Fire dispel these misconceptions?
Yeah, so some misconceptions about shame is that it's the same as like guilt. So a lot of people like kind of correlate the two, like you did something bad, so that's why you feel shame. But the thing is guilt is like, I feel bad about what I did. Shame is like, that is who I am, right? It's an identity that we take on. Instead of saying I did something bad, you're saying I am someone bad, or I need to hide myself because of whatever preconceived notion I think is wrong with me, right? And the big reason why I wanted to tackle shame in my book is because A, that was the first weapon that the enemy used against Adam and Eve in the garden. And it's the same thing that a lot of his daughters and sons are fighting with now. It took a lot. There's a lot of people that there's a lot of unstarted podcasts that people will not start because they're afraid to break out of the shadows of shame and be heard and be seen and step out in their full light, you know, of who God called them to be. So yeah, shame is very, it's very tricking and cunning. And like through my book, I go through the garden account of when shame entered, the atmosphere that it did exist, the atmosphere that it did not exist, and how we're attacked as daughters and sons of God now.
That is such a needed ministry for people. There is so much shame attached to people. A lot of that comes up in Christian communities too. Yeah. What would you say is the greatest misunderstanding about shame within the Christian community?
Yeah, so the biggest misunderstanding about shame is that like you should just be free from it just because you're a child of God, you're a new creation. You're not associated with the things that may be causing you to live in shame. And I think that we've pretty much taken like the scriptures and said, because this is what happened with me. I came into the church and I took hold of like, I'm a new creation. The old is gone, but I never dealt with the soul. We're a three-part being. We're a spirit and we're a soul and we live in a body. And like, yes, our spirit is a new creation in Christ Jesus. So the biggest misconception that we have in the church is that it doesn't exist, like what, that it's not operating in the lives of people. When if it's not addressed, it will continue to operate incognito. Because a lot of like what I go through in the book as well is that we have created these fig leaves that we put on to cover ourselves to try to deal with the shame that we feel without even knowing. Because a lot of us, our fig leaves are actually praised by the world. They're praised by the church. They're praised by other people. My best fig leaf was slapping on a smile and I'm great.
Wow.
No needs. And wow. Everything's good.
Goosebumps.
You know? And it's people pleasing. And it's, I how can I help you? And to the outside, it's like, she's kind, but no, really I'm using that fig leaf to cover the fact that I think you will not like me if I don't do something for you. And that's a bondage that we're in. And Jesus came to give us life and give us life in abundance. He came to free us from the shackles of anything that would keep us bound in slavery. We're no longer slaves. We're sons and daughters of the Most High God. And shame is living, is hiding our authenticity of who we really are for the need of approval, validation, or acceptance of the world around us. When Jesus says, you're already fully accepted in me. You're chosen before the foundations of the world. Before the world even existed, I knew you. And it's like that freedom, because you can be in Christ, but still be very bound.
My whole body is goosebumps, chicken skin. Can you see that? Preach, preach. Okay, this concept of fig leaves that mm-hmm. we're using on us. Wow. That's so taking it back to Genesis, and then how God made them the fig leaves, and then how we've carried those fig leaves. And I never thought about it that way. What would you say are some of the fig leaves that maybe people are using, whether it's in church leadership, within church leadership, or within the church, where these fig leaves are preventing spiritual breakthroughs and are kind of keeping people bound in toxic church cultures?
Right. Yeah. So a lot of the biggest fig leaf that I see in the body of Christ is the fig leaf of serving from a place of a duty, and instead of a place of overflow and love of who God created us to be, to flow out of us. Because there's a lot of people that come because the need for validation, that's a God-given need, right? Let's just go back there. The need for validation and acceptance is a God-given need. The moment that Adam and Eve saw that they were naked, the first thing that the Bible says that they were naked and they felt shame. And before the fall of man, when the serpent came into the garden and they were deceived, the thing that the Lord really wanted us to know is that, hey, they were naked and they felt no shame. What does being naked truly mean? So this, for me to really answer your question, we have to take it a little bit back. Naked is being fully seen, fully known, like fully vulnerable, authentic. Like you can't hide anything behind nakedness. Like this is me, you know? And he says that they were naked in front of each other and before God, and they felt no shame, right? Then the fig leaves, then the serpent came and deceived them. And in that moment, their eyes were open. They went from being God conscious. As you're God conscious, you feel no shame. They went to being self-conscious and they started to feel shame. They said, whoa, I'm naked. And they started to feel shame. That's the first thing they said. So they started giving themselves they started naming themselves their actions and who they were apart from what God said. So what they were saying is, oh my gosh, like they didn't run to God and say, Lord, we sinned. They went and hid from God. They hid themselves. And then they went to physically hide away from the Lord, even though he came to look for them. So we have to go back into our lives and realize what are the ways that we hide from other people and from God to go on through this world, right? This can be different for a lot of people, but a big one is the need for acceptance, right? Adam and Eve no longer felt like they were accepted by God. So they felt like they had to hide from God. They didn't feel that acceptance from each other. So a big thing in church, like toxic church culture, is the gifts. We have gifts that we put on as a big old fig leaf in front of ourselves and say, look at me, look at my gift. And now I'm loved, right? Now I'm worthy, right? Like you accept me because I can serve 5 services in one Sunday. You accept me because I can serve in the children's ministry, the greeting ministry, and you're doing, because the enemy, the biggest thing, it says, do something, then you'll be something. But God says, you already are something in me. You are created in my image. You are created in my likeness. And it's from that place that we healthily go into ministry. It's from that place that we can adequately love ourselves and love others. It's from a place of identity. We don't do things for identity. So I really believe that that's why we've seen such a rise in like church leaders, anointed leaders falling from positions of influence, because the fig leaf of my gifts, my preaching, like you're getting all this validation, but there's something going on inside of you that you have not dealt with, and it manifests in other ways. But God wants to get to the core of us, that we say, you can stand in front of me, you can stand in front of God and authentically be like, this is what I want to be involved in, because There's no fear in that because God's calling me into that. Not because I need you to tell me who I am. I know already who I am in Christ. So it's really important, especially in our churches, that we're really discerning, that we're really honest with where we are, because there's a lot of people that just really want the God-given gift of acceptance and validation. And there's always a need in the church. And because there's always people, the harvest is ripe. But if we're serving and doing things from an unhealthy place, it's going to really ruin our relationship with God and other people.
Wow.
Does that resonate with you at all?
Yes.
Yes,
this does resonate with me. This is so powerful. Yes. This is, everybody needs to hear you and read your book on this. This is such a beautiful perspective, powerful words, and just huge. I am a pastor's daughter, and I've grown up in the church, a lot of different churches. And one thing that I've encountered and my family continues to go through is spiritual abuse. And so there's a lot of, I'm starting to see now with your words, fig leaves, you know, that are, you know, in the shape of maybe people trying to, I don't know how to word it, just
they're trying to belong, they're trying to be, and they do things out of a place of like not a healed place and not a place of like, because when you grow up in a toxic system of feeling like you're a burden or feeling like you don't belong anywhere, you start creating maladaptive ways to get those needs met. And that does actually happen. It's not necessarily always the church's fault either. This isn't like, I love the church. Like the church is the bride of Christ. The church has my heart. Like I serve in my local church, but I know what it's like to serve in my local church from a place of deficit, of trying to get a need met, and then actually being there and serving from a place of overflow. But the place of overflow comes when you are in the presence of God and you allow him to remove from you all these false identities that you've put up, because a lot of people have been living behind these fig leaves in the church culture. They get burnt out and then call it spiritual abuse, right? Because it's like there's two sides to every single coin, right? But the thing is that the shame topic that we're talking about is God wants to get to the root. God wants to get to the root of who we are and who we believe we are in him. And I truly believe the only way that we can ever have a true revelation of identity is proximity, intimacy with the Spirit of God, because the Bible does tell us that we're the apple of God's eye. And if you think about it, like the pupil of an eye is the smallest part of the eye, right? For you, have you ever stood in front of somebody and seen your own reflection in their eyes? Like you're so close, like kind of like sunglasses, and you see like your reflection in their eye. So that's like God saying, you're the pupil of my eye. I'm looking at you so closely that if you are close to me, you can see yourself. So our ability to really see who we are is by gazing upon the Lord, is seeing him and then seeing ourselves in him and saying, wow, I see this holy, just, kind, merciful, compassionate God. And I see myself in him and he says, I'm good. And it's from that place that you have, your faith is like in the one that calls you good, not in your ability to be good, right?
Yes.
So it's like, it all comes back to identity. It all comes back to intimacy with the Lord.
I love that.
That was a long roundabout answer. I don't even know if I answered your question, girl.
This is great. This is beautiful, powerful. Yes, I love this. You said identity and intimacy, and that really does change everything. And that gives us an eternal perspective with all of it. You ignite hope in your new book, She Speaks Fire, a bold revelation on conquering shame and embracing God's freedom, unlocking identity, faith, and purpose in Christ's light. Would you please elaborate on the garden lessons from your book and how they can help readers conquer their own shame?
Yeah. Okay. So I have 8 garden lessons in the book, right? And what I did was I'm like, where did this come from, Lord? Where did this shame come from? Like, so I went back to the first time it was ever spoken, was in the garden. And I dissect the atmosphere in which shame did not exist. Because there was a time when God said they were naked and they felt no shame. So each lesson is going to go into the atmosphere in which shame didn't exist. When before shame entered, they had identity. Before shame entered, they had purpose because God said they were created in my likeness. So that's identity, purpose. Hey, you have dominion over the fish, the sea, the birds of the air, every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. That was they had purpose, right? They had community. God said it's not good for man to be alone. Like Adam was in the garden with the Lord all by himself. And God said, something's missing. So he made Eve. So the importance of community is so important. Shame didn't exist in those places. And then we go into okay, so there's eight. Do you want me to go through all eight? I'm just going to kind of give you some.
You do whatever you would like. I love it all.
Okay, so basically we go into community, and then we go into another garden lesson of approval. God gave them their approval. He said he looked upon all he created, and he said that it was good, right? We look at the ministry of Jesus. Before Jesus did anything, God said, that is my son. I love him. He is well pleased, right? So that's another garden lesson. Then we have a garden lesson on boundaries, because before shame ever entered the garden, they had boundaries. He said, hey, you're free to eat from everything here, but just don't eat of this one tree, right? So in the perfect environment where shame doesn't exist, we have identity, we have purpose, we have community, we have boundaries. And then I said, okay, so how did shame enter, right? So then I go into garden lesson six, which is our senses. Adam and Eve were led by their senses. They saw that she saw that the tree was good to eat. She saw that that it would make her wise. So what we can see, hear, taste, touch, and smell. So then another garden lesson goes into how does shame come into our lives? So through our senses. And then I was talking about the lies. That's another garden lesson, because that's how shame entered. The enemy made her question, hey, did God really say? Like, what lies are we believing? Are we believing the word of God, or are we believing the lies of the enemy, right? And then the last garden lesson is about nakedness, because, you know, we were created not necessarily figuratively, I mean, to be naked, like not to walk around but naked right now, but I'm saying like we were created to be fully seen and fully known. So I really just go in on everything that we can learn from the garden and how that shows up in our lives. And how we could battle it, because I was really intentional on how I subheaded my book, where it wasn't like, hey, overcoming shame. It wasn't, oh, getting the victory. I said battling shame, because it's something that we're always going to have to engage and wage war against. Shame is always going to try to take our voice. Shame is always going to try to hide our light. Shame is always going to try to lie and tell us that we're something outside of what God has said. And it's a daily thing to show up and be who God called you to be as he's called you to be in this generation. Because, I mean, God purposed us to be here, right?
Yes. So, yeah. Beautiful. These are incredible topics within shame that people are just going to learn so much, these garden lessons. Thank you. You have a powerful testimony, and you have been so bold with sharing about it. What would you say to people that, you know, have a testimony inside of them and maybe they're not sure how to get it out? I know I've been starting to speak about the biblical perspective on divorce and how God is there for his people when that happens to them. And that's a topic I never would have, you know, signed up for, but he's like, this is going to be your testimony to help other women going through this. And also compounded grief. That's another one of mine. I know for you, you can speak, if you'd be willing to share a little bit about yours, just how can people get to a place where they're ready to take off those big leaves and show their story?
Yeah. You know, it really goes down to battling the shame, because the reason why we wouldn't want to share a story is because we're ashamed of something about it, like how maybe we'll be received by it, if we'll be rejected by it. And honestly, I don't want to come off like too strong, but the more you spend time in the presence of God, the more your story ceases to be yours and it becomes his. And you are convicted and you are compelled and you are challenged and you almost have a burden. God, if you are listening to this podcast right now and you feel like you cannot share your story or parts of you need to be hidden and concealed, I pray over you that God gives you a burden, that he gives you a burden, because there's people on this planet, we all have the same ministry. It's manifested in different ways, but you, me, everyone that's called by the name of Jesus, we have the exact same ministry. We have the ministry of reconciliation, just as Jesus came to reconcile the world unto the Father. We as the church, the body of Christ, when Jesus said it's better for us to go because I'm going to send you a helper. Now, guess what? We're the body of Christ. We are walking the body of Christ in the earth. Jesus is the head. We're the body. We fill all in all. And we each have a ministry to point people back to God. And people won't listen to my story, they're going to connect to your story. And if we're silent about what the Lord has done in our lives, we're almost enabled. We're not letting the Holy Spirit move through us. So we have to get to a point where we're sold out so much for the Lord that we truly do die to ourselves and say, Lord, like, I will be a fool for you. Like, Lord, I want your glory to be manifested in the earth. Lord, I want the pain that I went through that to help set someone else free. And that's when the pain turns into a purpose. It's not that every bit of pain that we went through has purpose, but if you put it in the Lord's hands, he will make it into purpose. So it turns into a place where I believe you have to ask the Lord for a burden. It's not something that you can do within yourself. It's a place of submission and completely laying your life down. The word of God tells us that he who wants to find his life must lose his life, right? And he who wants to keep his life will lose his life. So we have to, in order to find our life, we have to lose our life. So God, you can use my voice. God, you could use my divorce. God, you can use my rejection. God, you can use my abandonment. Anything, Lord, the very breath that's in my lungs belongs to you. Lord, you can have everything about me. And the word of God says we overcome by the blood of the Lamb. And that's Jesus. Jesus did that. And the word of our, that's us. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb. That's Jesus. And the word of our testimony. So there's a part of the formula that's missing when you refuse to take your position as a child of God and giving him everything at your disposal. Just like that kid with the loaves of fish. He said, this is all I have. And Jesus said, give it to me. Let me break it and I will bless it and I will multiply it. It's not you that has to bring the multiplication. You just bring what you have into this. Ooh, I have chill bumps. And let God do what he does. We need you, sis. If you're listening to me right now, we need you. We need your story. The story doesn't point to you. It points to him.
Hallelujah. Yes. Amen. We need your story, sister. Wow. That is powerful. That is such a call to accept this beautiful partnership with God. And I never realized it was, that was the missing piece. It was him giving us a burden for it.
Oh, yes.
That is
so like it goes from a convenience to a conviction. Like, I have to do this. It's like, no, you're compelled. You're moved. You feel like, if I can't, this is why I'm here. Like, I hear you, Lord. And then it goes into a decision to an obedience. And that's when the grace of God is on it. Because if we birth something in our own flesh, then in the flesh, we're going to have to sustain it. But when we birth it in the spirit, like, whatever that is, that our ministry is not unto others, you guys, it's unto the Lord. Yes. That's us bringing our fruit to God and saying, this is all I have. And he says, okay, give it to me. And whatever the outcome of that is, glory to God, like, yes. Glory to God. Mm-hmm.
Oh, praise the Lord. This is powerful. I'm so excited for the stories that are going to birth through hearing you speak fire. How did you get that name? She speaks fire.
Oh my gosh, the Lord gave it to me. Okay, so I felt like compelled to name my ministry that. It started off, this is a funny story. It started off as She Speaks Ministries, right? And I realized like I wanted to turn it into like a nonprofit and just go around and do good in my community and do good just for a ministry, right? And I was going to file like the name for my ministry, I didn't have peace about She Speaks Ministries. And it came to find out that Proverbs 31 Ministries actually has like a She Speaks conference or something like that. And mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, well, I don't want to like have any like confusion. And I was like, Lord, what is it? And I literally just kept hearing, She Speaks Fire. Like, you get women in position to speak fire, because whenever you answer the call of God, woman of God, you're speaking fire. That's
what
you really have to mean. Just me. No, it's you. You are taking your voice and you're using it for what God has called you to do and say, and whatever you're doing unto the Lord. A woman that's on mission is speaking fire. So that's like the neat, that's how that came about.
Love this name. This is incredible. And your She Speaks Fire Instagram is just burning with beauty and boldness. And I pulled up one of your posts. You put, stop going back to what broke you, expecting to come out whole.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa. That, would you please speak a bit about that?
Yeah. So, I mean, I get it. Like, my ministry, and when I speak, it's like I'm walking alongside my sisters and brothers. I have some brothers that receive from the ministry. I mostly speak to women, though. Like, we are creatures of like habit, and sometimes we will stay in toxicity and we'll stay in familiar places, even though it's not birthing life, because it's predictable, because it's controllable, because it feels safer than not knowing what's ahead. So we stay in broken things and we compromise, and we make excuses for why we're here and how it can maybe turn around, when you know that God's calling you from that place. You know that God's delivered you from that place. Because we look at the people like the Israelites, and when they left Egypt, they were over there asking to go back to slavery because they wanted meat and they wanted the comforts, quote unquote, comforts of their slavery, when really it was a place that they were oppressed, that they were broken and burdened. But they, when you're in a place of the between the promise and the captivity, and you're in that middle place where you're getting to know the voice of the Lord, when you're, he's breaking things off of you, and you're in places of solitude, and you're stepping out in faith into the unknown, it's easier to want to go back to the brokenness than it is to keep our eyes forward on the promise. So that's why, I mean, I'm just like trying to remind people and say, hey girl, like, don't go back over there and expect to be whole when you know good and well that that place broke you, you know?
Yes. This is so good. Thank you for sharing that. What do you anticipate readers will learn from She Speaks Fire, and how do you hope it will impact their lives?
You know, I think that readers will learn how shame operates in their life, because a lot of people, if you were to ask them, they wouldn't have language for this cunning and sneaky and deceiving way that the enemy tries to operate in the children of God. They would call it something else. But I really believe that this is going to be an uncovering and be like, whoa, I didn't even realize that this is what was going on in my life. And what I feel like they will take away from this, or what I hope that they will take away from this, is that they reclaim their purpose, that they reclaim their position as a child of God, that they reclaim their voice, that they start speaking fire in their lives, and in like through, let their lives be that light that cannot be hidden behind a bushel. I believe that that bushel that the Lord is talking about says, let your light shine before men. Don't hide your light under a bushel. Let it shine before men so they can see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. I believe that that bushel that tries to cover us is shame, and it tries to keep us quiet. And I'm coming for it. I get fired up talking about it, because I'm like, not today, Satan.
Yes. Yes. I have a question about how you birth your content. So you're a writer, you're a coach, spoken word artist. How do you set aside time or time stewardship to be able to do these different things and have this beautiful, fruitful ministry?
Oh, you're so kind. You know what? Oh my gosh, this is kind of embarrassing. The way the Lord made me, I'm very like, I would say that my ministry is a spirit-filled ministry, which that doesn't mean there's no order or organization, but I'm very much like, God, what are you saying right now? What would you like to talk to your people about? So my first ministry is unto the Lord. I'm spending time with the Lord, the word of God, marinating in my bones. So the Spirit tells us that he brings the words to remembrance. So can you believe that I literally go on my phone? I have no like batched content or anything like that. I'm just like, Lord, what would you like to say today? And in that moment, that's what I write. That's it. And that's from the beginning when I started with zero people on She Speaks Fire. I didn't like convert my personal account to my ministry. I literally started with zero. I'd say, God, what do you want to say right now? And I still do that. And I as I'm trying to get my team built, they're like, girl, we need to have some organization. Like, girl, we need to like do things ahead. I'm like, okay, well, we'll try that. But you know, like I'm very much like go where the Lord is calling me as far as that part. But okay, so for other things, obviously there is some organization. I use the time during the day while my kids are, you know, at school. And I just set a side time to do like the other endeavors, writing this book. Obviously I just had to sit down and do that, you know, but I think what the biggest thing is like we have to allow our ministries and the work that we do for the Lord, that it's unto the Lord. So we do it with our best. Like, am I showing up and doing my best today? And the results are not up to me. Like, I can't tell you that I would have ever dreamed that anybody wanted to hear what I had to say. But I said, Lord, I'll just say what you want to say, even if it's for one person. And I still go by that today. If it's just for one person, what is that one person? Because guess what? It only took, even though I did have a radical encounter with the Lord in my room at 3 o'clock in the morning, he sent his sons and daughters to talk to me and plant seeds along the way. And I was that one person that he pursued through his son. If one person didn't recommend me reading this book, or if that one person didn't tell me the scripture that one time, that then again, it made me remember like, oh, what did that mean? And then want me to go into the word of God to see what it was saying. It's just, we need to all just do our part, you know, and trust God with the rest.
Yes. I can relate to you about the content. I ask the Lord, even with preaching, I say, okay, I'm going to guest preach here, God. I'm planning on using the same servant unless you have something else. And then Holy Spirit downloads something right then and there, has me write it down. He's like, that's what I want you to speak about. But it really is like, okay, download it, Lord. And I haven't been able to map out content really for my life either. It's this constant talking to the Lord.
Dependence on God. Yes. Really. And it's really frustrating to me sometimes because I'm like, God, I'm trying to be organized. Like, like I'm trying to be ahead. Like, can we please? And maybe one day I'll have the grace for that or whatever. But that's how it is for me. And I wish that I could give a better like response to that. Cause I feel like our culture does like honor productivity and systems and this, that, and the other. But when I say that this ministry is all a fruit of the Holy Spirit, I can't take any credit. All I can say is I let God speak through me and that's it.
Yes.
I got a cool little color palette going and
yes, I love your color palette. I love how you have these daily check-ins with Jesus, and moment by moment, he's downloading this to you. And that is the best content strategy ever. It's Holy Spirit downloads. Yes. How can our listeners connect with you?
Yeah, so my ministry account is She Speaks Fire Co. on Instagram and a Facebook, and my personal account, Mariela Speaks, if you want to see my cute kids and stories that I share, is Mariela Speaks. My website, shespeaksfire.com, that's where you could get, you know, the link to my books, coaching, if you want to do some one-on-ones, anything like that. I have cool things coming out. So yeah, just get on my newsletter. I send out newsletters every so often, and you're going to be able to just keep in touch with my ministry. Yeah.
Yes. Thank you. What are some of the services that you're offering or coaching? Do you want to talk a little bit about that? What a session might look like?
Yeah. So I pretty much, I'm working on like a coaching program, like a healing course. I don't, I take pretty much, if you want to talk to me, whatever, like, hey, do you need help with building your ministry or anything like that? And I haven't really been taking one-on-one coaching clients right now because I want to have a better system for that. The best services that I do offer right now, well, that I get to do in tandem with God, is if you guys have any like women's conferences, church services, if you guys looking for speakers for things like that, I go around and I do speak, I do spoken word and I preach. So just keep an eye out on my coaching services that are going to be launching soon.
Yes. And what is one way we can echo eternity or encourage others?
Man, I love this. Okay. One way that you can echo eternity and encourage others is allowing people to know the true you that's connected to the Spirit of God.
Oh, that is so good. Yes. Oh, thank you so much, Mariela. You are such a bold, vibrant woman of God, and your ministry, your wisdom, your testimony is changing lives this side of heaven. And I know we'll get to see even more of the fruits of that when we get to heaven. But right now, I just pray that God blesses your book, your ministry, your family, your home, and that you continue to flourish and thrive as you are. And thank you for being a role model, inspiration to me and for so many other people. Yes, everyone listening, go check out Mariela's accounts. She has the most beautiful family and ministries. And I hope that you get to meet her in person someday soon. It really is an honor. Thank you, Mariela.
Anna, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you so much.